finished the book today. It's been exciting and fun, and we've learned a lot. It says here in verse 21, "And they said unto him, We neither received letters out of Judea concerning thee, neither any of the brethren that came showed or spake any harm of thee, but we desire to hear of thee what thou thinkest. For as concerning this sect, we know that everywhere it is spoken against." So this is Paul. Remember, he's just arrived in Rome. He's been given liberty, even though he's still technically a prisoner. He's been given liberty to speak to whoever he wants. And he calls for the Jewish leaders of Rome. And they come and say, "We didn't know you were coming, and we really haven't heard any official letters about you. However, we have definitely heard about this sect." They're referring to, of course, Christianity. "And we want to know your thoughts on this." This sect of Christianity. And so Paul is about to answer their question. But I appreciate what they said. Verse 22, "We know that everywhere it's spoken against." Isn't that good? That's a good thing. That the gospel was spreading everywhere. Because the original disciples and the original Christians believed what God said when he said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." They took that seriously. They didn't just take it as a concept or an idea. They said, "We have a mission from God. We have to go into all the world." And they did. And by the time Paul had gotten to Rome, the whole world had an opportunity. Isn't that amazing? How do we know that? Well, let's look at it again in Colossians 1, and then we'll pray and get started. But according to Colossians, which Paul wrote, before he died, the gospel had done exactly what Jesus wanted it to do, and that is it had gone around the world. Because we often look now in modern times and say, "Oh, Christianity's failed. We never got the gospel where it needed to go. There's people that have never heard." Maybe that's true now. But that wasn't true then. So who would read verse 6 of Colossians 1? Any volunteers?
"Which is Brent? Come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in you."
And just do 23 while you're at it, brother, verse 23.
"If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister."
Preach to every creature under heaven. Does that sound familiar? Mark 16. "Go ye into all the world to preach the gospel to every creature." And here is Colossians is one of the last books Paul wrote before 2 Timothy. He says, "Which was preached to every creature." So that is why these Jews, even though they had not received any official letters or complaints, they had heard about the sect of Christianity. And that's, of course, how the Jews look at Christianity, as a sect. Another word for sect would be what? Cult. That's how the Jews look at Christianity, as a cult. As a twist on their beliefs of Judaism and Old Testament scripture. And so they said, "Paul, we want to hear. Tell us about this sect." So let's pray and we'll dive in. Let's go to the Lord. Lord, we do pray that you would use your word now to teach and grow us in your faith. And we thank you for how Acts has truly taught us and been a blessing to us and guided us, Lord. And I pray that we'll continue to grow through it and the studies ahead. And Lord, I pray that now in these few minutes as we finish up Acts, that you would use it in our hearts and lives, guide us and meet with us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so who would go ahead and just read 23 to the end, just by way of introduction, and then we'll dive in and finish Acts this morning. Any volunteers to read 23 through 31, 9 verses? Where's all my volunteers? Pastor Shannon, do you have enough of a voice? Okay.
"And when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him into his lodgings, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus. both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets from morning till evening. And some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not. And when they agreed among themselves, they departed after that Paul had spoken not one word. Well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet unto our fathers, saying, Go unto this people, and say, Hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Be it known therefore unto you that salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and they will hear it. And when he had said these words, the Jews departed, and had great reasoning among themselves. And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house, and received all that came unto him, preaching the kingdom of God, and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ, with all confidence, no man forbidding him.
Amen. Now remember, he had already spent 2 years in bonds in Jerusalem. Then the trip itself took, it looks like, at least 6 months to a year. And now 2 years in his own hired house here in Rome. He's still technically a prisoner, but they're giving him a lot of liberties. And the Bible doesn't tell us, but church history tells us that Paul eventually was martyred in Rome, killed. But up until that point, he just kept doing what God called him to do. Now, he had already told them, I'm ready to go. Remember? When they kept saying, don't go to Jerusalem or you'll be taken captive, he says, I'm ready to be persecuted or even die for Jesus' name. And if that's what the Lord wants, then so be it. And we saw how by the time he wrote Philippians, he told them, he says, I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and be with the Lord, but to be with you is more needful. I need to stay and help the churches out a little bit longer. And then he wrote a book maybe you've heard of called Romans to the church in Rome, which he started. Isn't that beautiful? How often do we use Romans in our Christian lives? So what did they do? They said, we want to hear. And what did he do? Verse 23, expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus. Isn't that good? So he expounded. It means he took the scriptures and helped them to understand what the Bible was saying. He testified of the kingdom of God and told them about Jesus. Now remember, the New Testament's not written yet. Plus, he's speaking to Jews at this point. So what's he doing? He's going to the law of Moses and the prophets. He's going to the Old Testament to show them Jesus. Is Jesus in the law and the prophets? Can you find Jesus there? Yeah? At least shake your head yes if you agree, or no if you don't. Let's go to Luke 24 and see if we have any evidence of this, whether or not Jesus can be found in Luke 24, who would read 25 to 27? This is after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, when he met some of his disciples after his resurrection. So who would read 25 to 27? Thank you, Doug. The things concerning what? Himself. And wouldn't you have loved to be there? To have Jesus open the Old Testament and say, that's me, that's me, that's me, that's me. That's exactly what he did. So he opened the scriptures, starting at Moses, all the prophets. It says all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. This is exactly what Paul's doing. He's going to the Old Testament and he's proving to these Jews at Rome, Jesus is in the Old Testament. And he is the fulfillment of the Old Testament scriptures, all the prophecies about the Messiah. And that is our mission too, to expound and to testify, to tell people about Jesus Christ from the scriptures, and to expound upon what the scriptures say. That's called the gospel. That's our mission, is to share the gospel with lost people. As it says there at the end of the chapter, preaching the kingdom and teaching. That's what we're called to do, to preach and teach. And if you go to 2 Timothy 2, we'll see that this is one of our missions as servants of the Lord, is to open up the scriptures to the lost and teach them about Jesus so they can be saved. Who would read 2 Timothy 2, verses 24 and 25 and 26? Any volunteers? Brad?
The servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, and men with instructing those that oppose themselves, God perpetually building the people to the acknowledgement of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by them as well.
So we are to instruct them. That's what it says, right? Apt to teach, instructing those that oppose themselves. And then as it said there in the next verse in Acts 28, some believe that things are forespoken and some believe not. And as you notice right here, it says, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. Wait a minute. Calvinists say we can't do that. Recover ourselves. That we can't get saved of our own free will. But the Bible says otherwise, doesn't it? So our mission is to do exactly what Paul did. Take this book and expound it to the lost. Tell them about Jesus. So back to our passage, it says, this is verse 24, and this should be an encouragement to all of us as believers. It's the same gospel, the same God, the same power of the gospel. But some will believe and some won't. It's important to always understand that. It's never right for a Christian to make a commitment to the Lord, I'm going to win 5 souls a week. That's not up to you. Now, it's okay to make a commitment, I'm going to witness to 5 souls a week. That's different. But to say I'm going to win 5 souls a week, that's you're now stepping into God's realm. Because some won't believe. Because their hearts aren't ready and they don't want to listen. You can't control that. That's between them and God. And here we have the greatest church planter that ever lived sharing the Old Testament with these Jews, and it says some believed and some didn't. That's always how it goes, isn't it? We've all experienced this where we've shared the gospel with some and they wouldn't believe. We've shared the gospel with some and they did believe. We don't know which way it's going to go because it comes down to their decision whether or not they're going to listen and believe and trust Christ and get saved. So it's very important for us to grasp this concept. Some believed, some did not. Our mission is to share the gospel, leave the rest up to God. So again, they're Jews, so of course they didn't agree. And that's where Paul said, Isaiah actually prophesied of you guys, speaking of the Jewish people in general, saying, hearing you shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see and not perceive. That in general, you Jews, as it says in verse 27, have closed your eyes. You don't want to listen. You won't open your eyes. You won't open your hearts and listen to what the Bible says and acknowledge that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. Now, initially they did at Pentecost and Jerusalem, but that faded pretty quick. And the ratio of Jewish to Gentile Christians changed pretty fast in early church history. To the point that, look at today. It would only be a guess, but if we had to guess, what percentage of born-again Christians in the 7.5 billion people in the world do you think are Jews? It would definitely be in the point something something percent, wouldn't it? How sad is that? But the day of Pentecost, in the first few weeks of the church, it was 100% Jews. It was only Jews up until Cornelius. And so in 2,000 years, look what's happened. And Paul said that would happen. Verse 28, "Be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and they will hear it." Sure enough, that's exactly what happened. And when you look at the epistles that Paul wrote, are most of the epistles written to Jewish churches or Gentile churches? Anybody? Brad? Jewish churches or Gentile churches? Paul? It was Gentile. Good. If you had a 50-50 shot there, right? Which of the New Testament epistles, I'm talking Romans through, let's say, James, are written to Jews? Anybody? Want to guess? Pardon? James? There's one other one. It's a real easy one to know based on its title. Hebrews. Who do you think that's written to? Other than those two epistles, that's it. All the other epistles are written to Gentile churches. Isn't that interesting? Gentile cities, Gentile regions. Yes? Mark?
I just put Paul preaching the kingdom of God. I mean, if he's talking to the Jewish people, he's basically telling them that the promised kingdom of God is there. So they're saying, okay, we're here now. We're going to get the kingdom of God. So they're not saying, obviously, the New Testament part of it. But all they see is, like, yeah, okay, you're saying that, Paul, but we should get the kingdom of God. So, but then, that's the message of, like, if you're selling something, and if you do this, you don't do that, you're still going to get it. And I'm just trying to, I suppose, weigh up how, I'm not sure if that's Paul, or how he kind of sell or convince them.
But he would have been, he is using the Old Testament obviously, but he would have been explaining what the kingdom of God was. Right. Well, is there a difference between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven? They're going to get the kingdom of heaven, right? Which is the millennial kingdom. That's what John said, right? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So the kingdom was available if the Jews would have repented. But the kingdom of God, of course, Jesus explained, is a spiritual kingdom that we all become part of at salvation. So Paul's trying to teach them that there's more to it, right? There's this new kingdom, this kingdom of God that Jesus started. And we can become part of it if we will trust Jesus. But by the way, Jesus is the fulfillment of all these Old Testament prophecies about a prophet that should come, about the line of the tribe of Judah, and we could just go on and on. He's the Messiah. He's the fulfillment of Isaiah and Jeremiah and all these other prophets. But the Jews had already closed their eyes. That's the problem, isn't it? They came with a preconceived thing that they weren't going to believe. But aren't people doing that all the time today? When you try to tell them about the Lord, they've already decided in their minds, you're wrong. And they don't want to listen. So it's no different. And that's exactly what happened here. And so it says, verse 29, they departed and they had great reasoning. But Paul was allowed for 2 years in Rome to have his own hired house. Even though he's supposedly a prisoner, he actually got to hire a place to live and have guests. And people would come. And what did Paul do? Preach the kingdom of God and teach the things which concern the Lord Jesus with all confidence, no man forbidding him. Isn't that good? Preaching and teaching. That's why we're here. And then that's the end of the book of Acts. We aren't told what happens after that in the Scriptures. The last passage that Paul wrote, we can look at it, 2 Timothy chapter 4, was the last book that he wrote. And then of course chapter 4 is the last chapter that he wrote. Most people believe it wasn't long after this book that he was beheaded there in Rome. And look what he says in his final chapter. So Paul knows what's coming. He says, verse 6 of chapter 4, I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. So Paul knows. Maybe he's already been told by the Roman authorities that he's going to be killed after all. He's going to be executed. But he says, my departure is at hand. Verse 7, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Does he sound afraid to go? No. He's ready. He's been ready for quite a while. I think he was really, from the time that he was stoned, and probably that is when he was given the glimpse of heaven that he talks about in 2 Corinthians, from that time on, Paul was ready. Modern day, he would say, had a death wish, but he was ready. He said, if I die, I die. I just go to heaven. And I would rather. Let's look at Philippians 1. We'll finish there. I think I preached in this 2 weeks ago. But here in Philippians 1, Paul makes it very clear. And Philippians was just written maybe a year or two before 2 Timothy. He says, Verse 23, I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. He says, I'm torn between wanting to go to heaven because God's allowed me to have a glimpse of it. Remember, you read in 2 Corinthians, he says, I knew a man years ago who saw paradise and so forth. He says, now that I've seen heaven, I just want to go. But to stay behind is more needful for you. So I'm going to leave it up to God. He's going to leave me here as long as I need to stay, and then he's going to let me go home. So God told him, you got to go to Rome, Paul. The seat of basically the world's government system at that time. Rome ruled most of the world during Bible times. And so God wanted Paul in Rome, and God got him there. And he wrote one of the most beautiful epistles in the New Testament, the book of Romans, and many other epistles he wrote from Rome. If you look at some of the epistles in some Bibles at the end, it tells you the footnote that was written from so-and-so by so-and-so, who the scribe was and where he was when he wrote the epistle. And some of the epistles were written in Rome. And then carried by, hand-delivered to whoever it was written to. So what a blessing Paul was. Amen? Any questions, comments, before we say farewell to the book of Acts? Michael?
How many years was he?
We don't know. Anything that I would say would only be based on church history, and that's written by men. Therefore, it's not reliable. But there are multiple sources of church history that tell us that Paul was killed in Rome or executed. But the when, it could have been another couple of years. It could have been immediately after. We don't know. We know he was there for at least 2 years, and that's all we know based on this passage. But after that, we'll know when we get to heaven. Anything else?